QUO.com/SPORTS.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a one-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at CollegiateLegacyDesigns.com.
This new year, get rid of that dad bod with testosterone and peptide therapy from Low Country Male. Right now, we are offering $200 off our initial consult package, and our plans start at just $7 a day. Our concierge treatment plans include testosterone, peptides, labs, and unlimited doctor visits. With 8 locations and over 10 years experience, come see why Low Country Male is the most trusted name in testosterone and peptide therapy. For BPC to CJC, we have a wide selection of growth hormone and recovery peptides. Book today, lowcountrymail.com.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940. That's 271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
All right, hour number two out of bounds. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in, 654-7627 on the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. I'm telling you, man, I watched that game last night, Miami 31, Ole Miss 27 in the Fiesta Bowl. I watched that game last night, and I know we're in a new era of college football where I legitimately found myself liking and rooting for players and coaches on both sides of a Miami-Ole Miss game.
Doesn't like, even sound right.
Like, are you serious right now? Like, think about what that meant. 10 years ago, would you have ever rooted for Miami in a big game? Well, I was like looking for a dodo bird, Miami in a big game. I mean, look at me. No, you would not have. You would not have. Ole Miss was the Hugh Freeze cheatinest program that there was 10 years ago. And even Ole Miss earlier this year with Kiffin and the polarizing stuff and all this, Pete Golding is likable. Even his demeanor in the game. Like, Mario Cristobal's sort of like, his face is stoic, but his mannerisms say, my insides are racing. His insides are like 18 Red Bulls. You know, like he's trying to put on a very calm front. That guy is not calm. Mario Cristobal is not calm last night. Pete Golding, calm.
Hot take, Quark. Pete Golding's not going to make it at Ole Miss.
You don't think so?
No. I think they love him right now because he's all they have left after Kiffin.
Is he not?
I do not think he'll get it done there.
Okay, hear me out on this. They named him the permanent head coach, like, immediately. I think he was named a head coach for this season. Like, I don't think he has any grace period there. Isn't it similar to like Zach Arnett gets named the head coach when Mike Leach is done and then he's like immediately fired?
Yeah.
Because Mike Leach died. Like you have this tragic thing and you have to, you're just trying to keep it together as best you can.
That's a good comparison. And listen, I thought he did a fine job last night for the most part. I did. But this is still the, this is still Lane Kiffin's team. I mean, it is. It's, he's the substitute teacher for Lane's team.
Counterpoint. Is it Lane's team or is it the Grove Collective's team?
Well, you might be there.
Because I would argue if the players like you and the Grove Collective slash you're above the cap is significant slash your university's not, you know, trying to feed too many mouths, I actually think you can be a an average coach and get away with it. And I don't know what kind of coach Pete Gold is. We truly don't. We have like three playoff games.
Yeah, and I guess that's really more what I should, the way I should frame it. I 50-50 that he makes it there.
50-50. He's not been great. He's not killed him. That's what I would say.
Just saying, I would not just pencil him in as the coach 3 years from now at Ole Miss.
Ask Matt Luke about that.
Yeah.
Matt Luke is a similar deal. Hugh Freeze gets fired with cause in the middle of the offseason. Luke gets promoted. He's got a couple of years there. And those guys just have very short leashes, to your point. And now that they – I mean, and, you know, you could argue this, but, like, they didn't play great last night. They should have turned it over four times. Bottom line, down to brass tacks – Ole Miss has a ball at, what, the 35-yard line and throws a pass into the end zone as time expires that, if caught, puts you in the national championship game. That is how close Ole Miss was to a national championship berth.
And listen, like I said earlier, their comeback in at the end of the game was remarkable. I mean, really, because you know they were worn down. When you play Miami, it's like death by a thousand cuts.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
And they didn't bleed to death. And in fact, I mean, Chambliss was sensational at the end of that game. He really was. So, I mean, you're right. They were close. They were also close against a Miami team that just did not play well. The difference in the game, and I think everybody on this station said it, and everybody was right, the Miami offensive line is – as dominant a unit of football as there is right now. I don't know. It was more like a rugby scrum a lot of the times, just watching the pile get pushed by those guys. They are so good.
Your point about Miami, by the way, not playing great, like, where was Miami's defensive line last night? Chambliss.
Well, the one kid got went out in the second play, and they were undersized.
Right.
But
you know what I mean, though? Like, I just but they like Reuben, one tackle for loss in the whole game.
Reuben Bain, I'm like, is he did he make the trip?
Witness protection program.
Where did he go?
Ole Miss, and I'll give him credit. They schemed that up. Chambliss did make a couple plays, but it wasn't like he ran for 80 yards. I appreciate Trinidad Chambliss for not rushing for 24 yards. That was that was nice. That was nice for your boy and underdog last night. But they just kind of schemed around, and they scored so fast. They had one drive in that was longer than 3 minutes. Miami had three drives that were 7+ minutes. Ole Miss had one drive longer than 3 minutes. They were like, in and out. We're either going to score real fast or we're just like, well, it's not for us. We'll just hand it to you. We'll punt it or hit the upright with a field goal.
Just sort of a little footnote to all this. And I did quickly just see if I could find anything and could not. Dan Radakovich has the opportunity to win a national championship in college football as athletic director at two different schools. I got to think that's happened before, but if it has, it's rare. I can't think of anybody right off. Of course, I mean, we don't know athletic directors the way we know head coaches either, but that'd be a pretty nice – A pretty nice bullet point on the old resume there for D-Rad.
And you know what? I think we are making a mistake we are doing ourselves and we're doing them a disservice if we just do the classic Miami trope of, well, of course they won. Look at the cash. Look at all this. John Ruiz's company is like bankrupt. This is not like they have money, but this is not billionaire buys a roster. That's not what this is.
Oh, yeah. Ruiz was going to basically help fund an own stadium, an on-campus stadium. And that's been blown up.
Like, to me, this was not what people said about Miami, that it's all cash and flash. Like, it's not even built the same as the Miami teams in the 70s and
80s. Well, it's still a lot of cash.
I mean, it's a lot of cash, but, like, the bones of the team and the program are sound. Like, this Mario Cristobal's a good coach because they've given him the money to be able to afford a roster that can win with brutally tough line of scrimmage play. That's what it was. Last night it was brutally tough line of scrimmage play, and then you got Tony involved and Daniels involved, and you let your $4 million quarterback do his thing. To me, this is not a – it's not the same thing as a Texas Tech. It's not the same thing as, like, I'm trying to think of examples right now of, like, oh, you just have one or two big boosters who were just buying the whole deal. Like, there is you were talking about Dan Radakovich. You don't just do that. It takes leadership. To be able to play for a national title, it takes, like, program, foundation, and building, and working, and tilling the soil, and doing that. You have to invest for years to be able to do this. Dan Radakovich understands that. He was doing it with Mario. He was doing it with the staff. He's now doing it with the roster and facilities and all that stuff. I just think Miami is a well-managed football operation from the top down. And that includes, look, for the third consecutive playoff game, you know what didn't happen? Mario Cristobal didn't mismanage, that I'm aware of, a single situation last night. In fact, I thought he managed every situation pretty much flawlessly. And again, if you were doubting Miami, you were thinking Beck can throw four picks and or Cristobal can ruin a win and turn it into a loss with poor mismanagement.
One that they totally screwed up, though, the first field goal, you run the ball straight down Ole Miss's throat, straight down the field. I mean, straight down the field. There was zero resistance. You get to third and three, and you direct snap. You try to get cute.
That was dumb. That was real dumb.
It's the offensive coordinator kryptonite. I feel like I've got to get cute at some point in the game. You don't have to be a great football coach to know to hand the ball off and keep doing what's already been working. And they cost themselves 4 points right there. They would have scored. They'd had the first down. They would have scored. It wouldn't even been close. But
you're right about that. That was a.
But I'll give you one. There was one.
There was one. But Cristobal really. You were thinking at some point he was going to be the reason they lost Ohio State. He was going to be the – or Beck was going to be the reason. And the reality is that Cristobal and Beck are the reasons they're winning, because they're not screwing it up. They're allowing this roster to do what it's supposed to do. They're trusting coaches and players to be able to make the plays, that sort of stuff. Flea flicker call. Yeah, that was kind of bad.
Oh, that's the trendy call this year in all of college football. There's been more flea flickers this year. I've seen more than I've ever seen in my life this year.
And then fake flea flickers. How many fake flea flickers where the it worked literally one time and now everybody's put it in? Where the back fakes the pitch and, you know, you're supposed to get 50 yards and really you just end up getting clotheslined by the center. Like that's what generally happens. How about the Ole Miss kicker hitting the upright twice?
And I mean, he's a great kicker. And yeah, he hits it twice, one goes in, one does not.
That to me, that was a weirdness of the game. I'll probably remember that part of it. What about the targetings? There were two targeting calls that one was upheld and one was overturned that were kind of significant in the game.
Whoever the rules expert was,
Bill Lemonnier.
Yeah, he was 0 for last night.
I want people to understand, like, in the year of our Lord 2026, when there are like seven different channels broadcasting some part of this game, ESPN's number one rules analyst very clearly doesn't know the rules. Like, not misapplies them, but like in the instance of targeting, for example, when it was like face mask to face mask, they go, Bill Lamagne, let's go down. Bill Lamagne, what are we thinking here? Targeting? He goes, contact to the head or neck of a defenseless player. Definitely targeting. Definitely. Under no circumstance. And like not even gets it out of his mouth. They go to the officials and he's like, they're like, the call of targeting is overturned. Like, Bill Lamagne has given us the reasons why it's definitely targeting. And it actually makes Bill Lamagne look bad that when the referee comes to adjudicate the call, that the referee doesn't say why it wasn't targeting or why they called targeting and what indicators weren't there, basically. After review, we originally thought there was contact to the head or neck. It turns out it was just minimal contact, not forceful contact. Like, you know, they don't tell us why it wasn't targeting. But the fact that Bill Lamagne is like, yep, 100% targeting under no circumstances, this is what the rule says, it kind of makes me think that he's not telling us the rules right. I mean, does anybody think that? That he's just not telling us the right stuff? Because what he says, you're like, well, yeah, you know, forcible contact, head or neck, defenseless player. You know, and he's not even like waffling it. Well, you know, I could see where maybe they're saying he's defenseless. I'm not sure. Or like, well, yeah, it's contact, but it's with the face mask, not the crown, and it's to the face mask, not the crown, and we're not sure. You know, he could waffle. He could go, you know what? I could see it either way. It's called targeting. Maybe it stands. And he overturned. He goes, yep, you know, that's a toughie. It's a real toughie. But when he comes out unequivocally and he's like, yeah, man, here's the indicators. Boop, boop, boop. Absolutely targeting. No question about it. And they overturn the call. That makes me think you just don't even know what the rule is. You're not even correctly telling us what the rule is. And it's January the 8th. It's not week zero where they change the rule and we're having to get used to it. You get a couple week grace period for the rule changes from me. This is literally like the 18th week of the season. We've been doing this for a year. The whole freaking season. And we're just listing off indicators that sound smart. And then for some reason, the officials are just coming up with like the polar opposite conclusion. That not only is that wrong, but like it doesn't exist to the point that we have to overturn the call. It just makes everybody look bad. You'd rather just speculate wildly and see what the refs say. Or like show a picture of what the rule says. And nobody have an opinion on it. You'd rather do that. Let's go to Slooper, who's up with us next. What's up, Slooper?
Hey, what's up, Qualk? How are you?
Good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing good. I had a question for you. Y'all are talking about Miami and their roster and Ruiz, and I was under the assumption that Ruiz had basically bought and paid for this roster, but y'all are telling me differently. And if that's the case, if it's different, Qualk, how are we falling behind if they don't have that billionaire booster, but yet where are they finding the money to fund this roster? Would you say their team NIL is better than Clemson's team NIL this year?
Yeah. Yes, I would. I would say this, that one of the things that is becoming a factor in the NIL space and in the rev share, like roster, basically the salary, college salary cap space, is how much money can you provide above the cap? That requires corporate sponsorships, and it requires donors that are business owners. And even without John Ruiz pouring like millions and millions of Life Wallet dollars in there and flaunting all that, the city of Miami is going to have access to those dollars better than Clemson, South Carolina is. And that is a way, that is a spot where Clemson's got some ground to make up with larger alumni bases, with wealthier donors that are business owners that can get cleared from NIL Go, and metro areas like Miami and Atlanta and even like Birmingham and Houston and Dallas and the big metros that have access to major corporations.
All right. So basically, we're heading down the MLB route with big markets and small markets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's quite like that because it still is a smaller percentage than the rev share dollars, but it is a factor in trying to get when you see some of these numbers, like the $4 million for Carson Beck, it would not shock me at all if like two and a half of that was like school rev share and like one and a half or 1.75 was outside source revenue.
Sleeper, I don't think we're headed there. I think we're already there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Texas Tech. Look at SMU. I mean, SMU changing conference is not why they're better. They're better because they can pay their players now, and they got all that oil money. I mean, all these Texas schools are doing great. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah. My other thing was is y'all were talking about D-Rad, and he's always going to be one of my favorites, man. He was an unsung hero during that time that I think a lot of people, you know, looking back on it now, will recognize that he was phenomenal and what the moves he made and everything he did behind the scenes was incredible. And I always appreciate what he did, even though he was upset a little while when Clemson, you know, was trying to get out of the ACC, which if he were here, he would have done the same thing. But and I'll end on this. Qualk, you were just talking about that rules analyst. And in that first targeting call, it was a Ole Miss DB, and the QB was trying to fit this ball into a window, Qualk. I mean, it was almost like the DB and the wide receiver met at the exact same time.
Right.
And you can see where the DB he's going to wrap, right? He's doing everything that we've taught these kids to do over the years so that they don't get hurt. And it was one of those freak plays, and in my head I'm going, no way, that's not targeting. They just got hurt because of the quirkiness of the play. It was so in a window. And then the rules analyst, Qualk, he comes on and he goes, he's so sure of himself. He is so sure of himself that's targeting. You've got every key indicator of targeting. Qualk, I'm with you. They need to take it away because they're making it worse when guys like that who are supposed to be professionals at this are telling the average Joe fan, and the average Joe fan is going, that's not what I'm seeing. And then you basically get proven wrong over and over and over. They just need to get rid of it, Qualk. Yep. All right, you guys take it easy. Y'all have a great weekend, okay, guys?
Thanks, Sluber. Appreciate the phone call. You too.
Fran reminds me the best thing the ACC has done is go to the network review, and they let you hear the conversation. Why we don't do that everywhere is beyond me. It's in a game like last night to actually have heard the conversation would have been so good.
No doubt.
Instead of hearing somebody else guess.
That's right. Let's take a break. 654 Roar back for more hour two after this.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number. One Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. And when it's time to look for an engagement or wedding ring, count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca. Turner's Jewelers, where joy comes out of the blue.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
If you are a business owner, the integrity of your roof is probably the last thing on your mind. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists are here to alleviate that burden with a free, no-obligation roof inspection for your business. Their team checks your roof for leaks, draining issues, missing shingles, storm damage to avoid costly issues in the future. Call Adams & Co. today for all of your commercial roofing needs at 864-260-0080. That's 260-0080.
Get lost in the sound of nature, not in long haul times.
At Upcountry Fiber, we believe our neighbors deserve better. Real people right here in your community, ready to help. No pressure, no surprise fees, just fast, reliable internet and friendly local service. And right now, you'll save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local. Visit upcountryfiber.com/year of internet. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection.
If Christmas spending left you juggling multiple payments, high interest rates, and a little too much stress, it's time to relax. Simplify your finances with a New Year's personal loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. Consolidate debt into one payment with a quick application, a range of loan amounts, and excellent service, paired with a suite of financial products and services. Stop by a Founders location near you or visit foundersfcu.com/personal loans to apply for a personal loan today. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a new year, and Aleve is here to help you keep your New Year's resolutions on track. Whether it's a daily walk, hitting the gym, or spending more time with friends and family, Aleve's got your back. With up to 12 hours of body pain relief per dose, Aleve keeps you moving with long-lasting body pain relief so you can chase those dreams and achieve your goals. Don't let body pain slow you down. Keep going with Aleve, because this year is your year. Try Aleve. Use as directed for minor aches and pains.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
If it matters, we're talking about it.
Like it matters?
Oh, it matters.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat.
Can y'all all the two that? Stars that make winning teams, come on down. Every two star to Miami. Hour two continues here on the program.
According to Herb Street, it's all about the team. It's not about anything else. It's not about South Beach. It's not about, I don't know, $4.3 million. It's not about the Cavender twins. None of that. It's just about the team.
We all know there's a direct correlation, Ben, between how many unselfish players you have on your team that turn down money and winning games. We all know that. That's the way it's worked since the dawn of time.
Another thing that happened last night while that was going on, while Clemson women's basketball got a mighty impressive win. I'm two screening last night, Quark. And, big win over NC State, which you called. I will give you credit for that. You called it yesterday. It came true. But as a, again, long-suffering Atlanta sports fan, I pay attention to the Hawks.
Of course.
Good riddance to Trae Young.
Ooh.
Quark, he gets the notice that he is traded from Atlanta during the game last night. He was sitting on the bench and gets the notice and gets up and walks out. I mean, he's been injured, so he's in dress clothes, but injured, air quotes, injured. Yeah. And I'm thinking, could we not have done that an hour earlier or an hour later? That a guy gets the notice. And we've seen other athletes, and the NBA is notorious for this, like be told by fans,
yes,
hey, you just got traded.
That's
terrible, though.
Isn't that a sign of how done with you the organization is? That they don't even do it like at 4 o'clock so that everybody gets to have hugs in the office and that kind of stuff. They literally tell you during a game while you're on the bench. So as done as you were with Trae Young, don't let the door hit you. Doesn't it feel like the Hawks were for sure in don't let the door hit you mode with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the indicator? Because, like, it doesn't – like, that's your franchise guy. You literally built your roster around this guy, and then you just, like, third quarter of a random Thursday night, and you're traded by.
It's little Trae Young. It's not just Trae Young. It's
little Trae.
Little Trae.
Little Trae, because he's tiny.
He's always been little Trae.
Small guy. If he were taller, he'd be big Trae, but he's little.
The Hawks roster is better than what their record is. And they will be better in the long run without Trae Young. They will be. I hate to bring this up. I was looking at some NBA things this morning. And I wonder why you had not mentioned the Pacers all year.
Why don't you tell us?
Well, the Pacers now have the worst record in basketball at 7-31. Quack, they're terrible.
Let me tell you something. That pairing A.J. DeBonsa with Tyrese Halliburton, like the Spurs did with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, is going to hit great in 27. They are perfectly ignorable right now. They won last night, I think, by 2-3.
Did they win?
I think they won. They scored 120 and won last night, I think, which is kind of sad now. It's kind of sad. The Pacers have never had success in the lottery. They try to win every year. But when your best player goes down and then your starting center takes a bag from Milwaukee.
They beat the Hornets.
Yeah. Then every other good player is hurt. I told you, they had to use an injury waiver to be able to sign a player like 3 weeks into the season because they were that depleted by injuries that quickly. It's been all. I mean, it's been the equal and opposite reaction to a miracle run to Game 7 of the Finals.
You know who's quietly had a good season, and he's a cast off now. People don't pay any attention to him. Zion Williamson's actually had a good year. The problem is that the Pelicans are as bad a defensive NBA team as I've ever seen. Well, and it's partly because you have a 285-pound.
Say it. I was going to call him the elephant in the room, but I feel like that's fat-shaming Zion. So
a little oompa loompa there. But, no, he really is. He's averaging like 24 points a game, something like that, and playing pretty well. You know who has – I told you this was going to happen. You had to give the kid time. Wembanyama has been lights out.
Phenomenal. The guy is
they're one of the better records in basketball right now.
You know what I'm starting to really get annoyed by is like teams that know how to score every possession, like something that would work every possession, but then they're like, "Let's just run all our plays." Like that guy, when is that guy not going to score?
Third best record in basketball now.
That's a great roster too, by the way, because all those guards are young and very talented. I mean,
if they can keep that group together, they're trouble.
They need a Charles Oakley, like a 37-year-old throw a forearm to somebody's head in a playoff series. They need somebody like that, but skill wise, that is a great. That's a really good basketball team.
Victor's averaging 24.2 per game, 11.5 rebounds per game.
Whew. Hey, let me ask you this, okay? You were talking about Trae Young. What if I told you on day one of the season back in October of 2024 that Trae Young and Luka Doncic would be traded before they were 30? Think about the conversations we used to have about Trae and Luka. It was
franchise players.
Which one is the best in their draft class? And literally the teams that drafted them. We're having these conversations like not truly two seasons ago. We were having these conversations. Luka got traded, and it was horrible for the man. I mean, horrible. Like PR-wise, that was terrible. I don't know if you've seen this. The Ringer has done a bracket of the biggest traders in the world history, and Nico Harrison is on it, the GM of the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Like in the with Benedict Arnold and like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, he's on there. So that's how Maverick fans feel. Could anybody have even imagined that Trae Young and Luka Doncic would wear their welcomes out so thoroughly with their organizations that they would be traded for, it feels like pennies on the dollar. Like, not because they couldn't afford them, but because they did not want them to play for their franchise anymore. That's a stunning turn of it. In 2 years, that is a stunning turn of it. Trae Young was top five in NBA Comeback Player of the Year voting last year. He was an all-star last year. Out.
I just love that he's going from one irrelevant team to another in the Wizards.
And he wanted to go there.
I know.
Why would you want to go to the Wizards?
I think he just wanted out of Atlanta that bad.
And he knew they had the best offer?
I guess.
It's a way to make it look good. You said they're going to be better off without Trae Young. Are you sure?
In the long run.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure. We'll see.
You have faith that the Hawks are going to build correctly?
I like the other pieces that they have. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
I do like their team.
Getting a whole lot of NBA techs. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I really do like the Hawks roster. They clearly need to retool, but that gets tricky because they literally tooled it around Young. So you either have to break it up to some degree or you have to bring in a Trae Young-ish player. That really does it. The guy's kind of a unicorn. Like, I wouldn't try to copycat that guy. Who's the best player on the Hawks right now? I actually tried to ask myself that this morning, and I'm not sure I've really nailed down an answer.
It should be Porzingis, but you have to actually play to be good. And he's sick again.
Again.
Oh no, we're sick again.
I'm a little worried about that guy.
Yeah,
Whatever long-term illness he has. Like, people talked about that last year, like long COVID. People were like, "Oh, he's got long COVID." This is like the longest long COVID there is.
It's something more than that.
It's got to be like autoimmune or something. Jalen Johnson and Nikhil Alexander-Walker are really good players. I think the thing that kills them is Zachary Risacher needs to be better.
Well, he's still real young, though.
Yes. Was he 20?
He's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's still 20.
Well, you asked me who the best player ceiling wise is him, but he's not there yet. He's got a ways to go.
Maybe they build around him. By the way, in the Trae Young camp, have you seen the reports today that the Grizzlies are looking at trading Ja Morant?
Oh, wow.
So Morant, who really was kind of a good fit in Memphis, I kind of thought. Like the personality of the city and...
That's a very polite way John of saying Morant. That gun violence is going to go down when he leaves.
The court docket's going to be wide open when John Morant gets traded. I mean, just wide open. I'd be kind of surprised if they actually are able to move him. And like, the thing about Trae Young and Doncic and all these stars, there's no way you're getting requisite value in the middle of a season for these guys. There's no way. So if you're doing this, then you're just done. Like, you're completely finished with him. Maybe they're looking to try to establish a market to trade him in the offseason. I don't know.
LaMelo Ball reportedly has talked about a trade. Maybe they just trade, they just exchange players there with the Hornets. Hey, we can talk some college basketball on the other side if you'd like.
Let's do that.
There are all 18 ACC schools playing tomorrow. Ooh. And some pretty good matchups.
Let's chat about it. John Morant to Atlanta. Oh, Ben.
Yup.
Oh, Ben, let's go. I also love my favorite text of the day, Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis.
The Hawks don't have anything to trade for Morant now, though. That's the problem.
All your good players. We'll give you all your other good players, and we're going to start over. Stay with us. Hour number two of the program continues right after this.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I've partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
At Estes Heating and Air, family means everything. As a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years, we know the value of trust, care, and keeping your home comfortable year-round. From routine maintenance to emergency repairs, we treat every customer like one of our own. Because when you call Estes, you're not just another service stop, you're part of our family. Schedule your next service today at estesheatingair.com. Estes Heating and Air, family-owned, community-trusted.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer? Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at Vermeer.com/dig.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Yeah, it ain't nothing like where I'm from. No. Yeah, I can keep my gun in my tucking. They don't know my name at these bars. And you can't even see any stars in Miami. You got me in my head for a couple days now.
You know, my man makes a good point. Maybe John Morant to the Heat. Gun in the car. just looking for fits, Ben. Just looking for fits. Speaking of fits, Ingles fits like a hand in glove with my family. Low prices, love the savings.
Look at you.
I had a lady come up to me at the women's basketball game last night. And she said, did you go to Ingles today? And I said no, because I didn't go to Ingles. I said I was going to, but the item, my wife took care of the item. The one item that I always forget, she just handled it. And so I said, no, I didn't, but I'll be going tomorrow. She said, okay, just checking. I went. So I appreciate it. People are just checking to make sure that I check my daily Ingles visit off the list.
I went today, and someone walked up from behind and said, do you work at 105.5 The Roar? And I turned around, and it was GM John Hennis.
Oh! What?
So, yeah.
John Hennis?
We had an executive meeting in the Ingles today.
Let me tell you something. John Hennis, the healthiest person I know.
Mm-hmm.
He shops at Ingles. That is a seal of approval, folks, because that guy is not just going in any old grocery store. All right? Only the best for John Hennis. Low prices, love the savings.
Hennis won't even drink normal water. Like, he would rather be dehydrated than drink, you know,
tap water
fountain water.
Like a plebe.
Who do you think I am, buddy?
Let's talk some ACC hoops. I'm excited for the games this weekend. I think Clemson and Notre Dame is a fascinating game, and it's far from the only one. I looked at the KenPom ratings this morning for the games this weekend. Clemson Notre Dame got the highest rating of all of the ACC games. Very compelling matchup,
really?
In South Bend. Yes,
you have SMU Duke.
SMU Duke was down there. They have Duke by 10.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear Andy Enfield's take on Duke's facilities.
Can you imagine?
They do have a big media room, though.
Look, but the staircases, Ben, those staircases are narrow. You could barely get a radio equipment around those corners.
Locker room, not good.
Nope. Wonder if he says it out loud. I wonder if he says it out loud. You know what? If he was a man, if he were not a coward, he would say out loud what's wrong with everybody's facility, since he broke spades by commenting on Clemson's facility.
I don't know that we'll have, you know, these compelling matchups in terms of like Duke, North Carolina type of stuff. You have the opportunity for schools to separate themselves. Like, the good teams need to remain good after Saturday.
Yeah. There's a little peril here.
And, you know, you and I were talking off the air one day this week about, I mean, there's like four teams in the league that are, they're just not good teams. I think everybody else is pretty decent. Case in point, like Stanford visits Virginia tomorrow. I'm sure Virginia is going to be a healthy favorite there. Stanford is no slouch.
No.
Didn't they just beat Louisville?
Yeah. Stanford just beat Louisville. They won at Virginia Tech. I said this the other day, but I just need to say it again. On a freshman hits a step back three with 3 seconds left, down two. He was already behind the three-point line, stepped back, calmly swished it, and they beat Virginia Tech by one on the road.
Virginia Tech hosts Cal. You know, that's another one. Like, I don't know. There's not a lot of gimmies, I guess is the best way to put it. Clemson at Notre Dame is certainly not a gimme. In fact, this game makes me very nervous, Quok, and probably more than it should. However, Notre Dame has four quad one losses. I mean, they've lost five games. They got a bad loss to Purdue Fort Wayne.
Yeah, that was the first game after Burton, or maybe the game when he went out. I don't recall that.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a game they shouldn't have lost. But the others, I mean, four quad one losses, and they've been in every game for the most part. Also, one thing that makes me a little nervous about them, especially at home, is they are a second half team. I left the numbers in my office in there, but I want to say they average like 33 points in the first half, and average 40 in the second half. And Ooh. They've done that to a lot of these teams where they play well down the stretch, and you know, they, you feel like the game is comfortable, and then all of a sudden it's not. Also, their center is Tout. All he does is rebound. He's not much of an offensive threat, but he just, all he does is take rebounds.
He's a wide load. He's sixth in the country in defensive rebounding rate.
6'8", 250, though. I mean, he is a defensive end, and he just lives to get rebounds. Shrewsbury has done a good job of keeping this team together, and I feel like they're improving, and they're doing it without their best player, Marcus Burton.
Burton has missed the last five. The third of those five games was a Purdue-Fort Wayne game. They beat Stanford without him. They beat Idaho and Evansville without him. They've lost to Purdue-Fort Wayne, and then they lost by one at Cal on the four-point play that should not have been. So I think it's fair to say that Notre Dame probably is playing a little better than, like, their last three games. You look at them 1-2 and who they lost to, you're like, oh, boy, they're really missing him. But they should have beaten Cal. That was a horrible call. And it should not have been a four-point play, or at least should have been able to play overtime. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. But you know why I'm nervous about this game? When I look at the schedule and I see Clemson goes to Pitt, I go, win. Why? Well, because Clemson's going to Pitt. Win. Because they win every time. And it doesn't matter how they're going to find a way. It doesn't matter the matchups. I don't care. I don't need it. They win. This is the opposite. Clemson is 4-9 all time against Notre Dame. They have won one time in South Bend by exactly 2 points. Brad Brownell has had lots of success that is historically significant against opponents that Clemson historically has struggled with. Like, I don't know, winning twice at North Carolina, the way he's played Duke. These are like historically significant. Wake Forest, he's had more success against Wake than his predecessors did. This would be on the opposite end of that spectrum, where this is an opponent and a building that Clemson basketball just has not played well in, just not ever played well in this building.
Maybe the fact that you had one returning starter, one returning player outside of the red shirts might actually work to your advantage. These guys don't know that. RJ's played there, but yeah. They don't know that they're not supposed to be good in that building. Also, Brad Brownell has done a pretty good job of breaking trends of Clemson basketball.
He also mentioned it. Like, somebody asked him after the Pitt game. I saw this in media. Somebody asked him, like, why have you had success against Pitt? He's like, I don't know. Sometimes you just have matchups where it just feels like you get the bounces of the ball, or, you know, you have a comfort level. He's like, we're going to go to Notre Dame soon, and I ain't had as much success there, and so maybe that's mine, you know, and – we've had success against Jeff's teams and all this stuff. And so he kind of brought that up, that we've had a little bit of a hard time against Notre Dame.
And he typically owns stuff like that and just attacks it head on with his team too, which is, I think, benefits you here. You don't pretend like it doesn't happen. You coach to it. Like, hey, and you use it to get your team's attention too. Look, if I know that Notre Dame's a second-half team, they certainly know that Notre Dame's a second-half team. And you coach to make sure your team, you know, if you get that 12, 15-point lead or something, that you stay hungry and you don't get comfortable.
I think that's a great point. I noticed that Sean Poppy's press conference last night, he's got Rachel Rose beside him, and he says Rachel Rose comes here because she wants to go to the NCAA tournament. She hasn't been. She wants to go.
Tell the people why Rachel Rose was in the press conference.
Rachel Rose. 19 and 8 rebounds. The diminutive former Big South Player of the Year. 19 points, 8 boards, was unconscious in the second half. She
turned into Con Knipple behind the line.
Oh, yes. Yes. What praise. Clemson flagship station said great stuff about Con Knipple and a Wofford guard. That's where we are.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not a Duke player.
Not anymore.
We're talking about the Hornets player.
Are you talking about P.J. Hall's teammate?
That's right.
You're talking about P.J. Hall's teammate. Yeah, Con Knipple. But that he says, we talk about it. If we want to go to the NCAA tournament, we got to win this game. He told me before the Virginia game, these are the games we have. If you want to go to the tournament, you got to win these games. We can't keep getting close. We can't keep competing. We got to win these games. You can't just be competitive in the games. And so they went at Miami, and they're talking about it. They're talking about this is a win that you put at the top of your resume for the NCAA tournament. You beat NC State, that's the win you put at the top of your resume for the NCAA tournament. They're talking directly to this. There's no, like, pressure off. Because what he says is, and I think Brad Brownell's the same way, like, the players know. They're aware. And it's different than, like, you know, especially if you're if football is your main sport. The tunnel vision of process, like, all, you just play the next play and you just do the next whatever and you just tunnel vision. Like, that's one thing. But I feel like in basketball, you have more coaches who directly speak to the stakes of the game that you're going into. Like, it's big. And maybe you need to talk stakes when there's 30 games as opposed to 12. But it feels like basketball coaches are a little more comfortable doing that. Brad Brownell does not shy away from any of this stuff. And Sean Poppy doesn't shy away from any of that stuff. By the way, historic win for the women last night. I need to throw this stat out, Ben, because I actually looked it up during the game. January 6, 2011 was the last time that Clemson had beaten NC State in women's basketball. 14 seasons, 16 meetings, only two decided by single digits.
And four head coaches?
Four head coaches. Four head coaches.
Four head coaches later.
Yes. Toro Coleman was the last coach to beat NC State. 5,481 days since the last time Clemson beat NC State in women's basketball. And they were down five after three, and they won the game by 10.
I two-screened that thing, and Clemson would get like a one-point lead, and then NC State would respond and push it back out to five. It felt like every time until you get to that fourth quarter, and once they just decided they were going to get the lead and stretch it, and they did. We saw two good fourth quarters last night.
We did. Two very good fourth quarters.
At least if you were in my house, you did. That women's game and then the playoff game.
Texter says this, I watched a full girls game last night, and that's a new one for me. Great game, but we need more people at the game. How can we get more people at the game, especially students? I think this was a tricky one because you had students are just back. First day of class was like Monday, Tuesday this week or something.
I think they were Wednesday.
Wait, it may have been Wednesday. Wednesday night, 9 o'clock game. I think for a lot of families, you probably are going to just prioritize a 7 o'clock start for gymnastics tonight against Alabama, which is big, over an 8 o'clock start women's basketball the night after that SMU. I think it was a tricky point in the schedule.
And you had college football's own playoff game on last night.
That's correct. So you've got some people that are going to stay home and do that. There need to be more people. There were probably 1,000 people there last night, and it was the energy was good. But there need to be more people because this is becoming an NCAA tournament team. And this is becoming an NCAA tournament program because I don't know if you noticed, they're bringing in a top five recruiting class next year. So if they go to the tournament with this crowd, then they get more talent in the program, all of a sudden it starts opening up some avenues. And I would love to see some better crowd. Noon on Sunday the 18th is the next home game.
That'll be better.
That should be a better.
People are starting to realize that this is a tournament-worthy team.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. All right, I want to talk about the rest of the ACC, too, when we come back. There's a couple other games that have my attention this week. Talk some NFL playoffs. Talk a little bit about Oregon, Indiana, and some portal stuff as well in Hour 3 next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAH.